Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 201 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, first of all, I want to give a shout out to the Ankeny Rotary Club tonight. I had a chance yesterday to speak to the club during their weekly meeting at the Ankeny Golf and Country Club. And it was an opportunity for me to tell them all about Ankeny Fanatic. I enjoyed it. I hope they did too. I also wanted to mention that the Ankeny Christian Academy volleyball team is playing in a Class 1A regional final tonight against Sydney at Atlantic. And I was hoping that I could include the Eagles as part of this week's podcast, but the timing of it just didn't work out with my other guests. Hopefully ACA will advance to the state tournament, and we'll get a chance to talk to Coach Michelle Quick and some of her players next week or the week after. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of volleyball and football tonight. Later on, I'll be visiting with one of the standouts from the Ankeny Centennial volleyball team. I also have two of the Centennial football players on to preview the Jaguars' opening game in the Class 5A playoffs. But right now, my first guest is a senior middle hitter for the second-ranked Ankeny volleyball team. She has helped the Hawkettes to a 35-4 record and a number two seed in next week's Class 5A state tournament. For the season, she has racked up 192 kills, 52 blocks, and 21 aces. She is Myra Carlson. Myra, thanks for joining me. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on qualifying for the state tournament once again. You had 5 kills and 3 blocks in your team's sweep over Council Bluffs Lincoln in a regional final last night. You know, what did you think of your team's performance?
I was really proud of us. I think we came out really strong and really just didn't let them have a chance there in that game. We really practiced against their team in practice and knew that they were going to come out strong, but I'm just happy that we all came out to play.
Well, you guys had won 2 of 3 sets against Lincoln during pool play at the Centennial Invitational on August 27th, but that was almost 2 months ago. And I know Coach Lynch told me last night that you guys spent a lot of time scouting the Lynx. So they made very many changes since you played them the last time?
Yeah. The first time we played them, their middles were active, but we knew that their middles had gotten a lot better throughout the season. So especially number 9, she's one of their best hitters, and so we knew that we needed to shut her down as soon as possible. So they definitely have improved.
Well, your team is now riding a 17-match winning streak. You haven't lost since falling to Dowling Catholic in the final of the Iowa City West tournament on September 10th, but you then avenged that loss 12 days later, and you really haven't had too many close matches in the last several weeks. Do you feel like your team is playing its best ball this season?
Yeah, I think so, but I think we have still a lot of work to do. One of our coaches today in practice was like, we set our bar high, but we can set it even higher, so that's definitely our goal.
Well, before all the matches went final last night, you know, you didn't know for sure who your opponent at the state tournament would be. I thought it might be number 7, Waukee Northwest, if all the top teams advanced to state, but then Urbandale's upset over number 5, Cedar Falls, moved the Wolves up to the number 6 seed, so they will now play number 3, Pleasant Valley. You guys own a pair of wins over Northwest, but they were both really close matches. So were you maybe kind of glad that you didn't draw the Wolves in that first round?
Well, I think we were ready for any team, but we're definitely happy with our first round game and hope that we can have the opportunity to play whoever's there that second round game.
Well, yeah, your team will play number 10 Valley on Monday at noon at the Extreme Arena in Coralville, which, of course, is a new venue for the state tournament this year. Valley is another team that you're very familiar with because you've already defeated them 3 times, but they're coming into the tournament on a really high note. They were down 24-22 in the third set at number 8 Johnston last night, and they were on the verge of being swept, but then they put together a miraculous rally to win the match in 5 sets. So I'm sure you guys won't overlook them, will you?
Oh, definitely not. They gave us a hard time at our game against them this year, and they exposed a lot of our weaknesses, so we're definitely going to prepare and know that their energy and their talents are really going to come through that game, so we definitely have to show up.
Yeah, and that last matchup against the Tigers, that was at Valley on October 11th. They did manage to take a set off of you guys. You know, so do you think they've gotten, you know, better here in the last few weeks, and what's going to be the key to beating them again?
Yeah, they've for sure gotten better. I think the key is just going to be speeding up our side of the net and fixing some of those weaknesses that they saw that game and just mixing things up for sure.
Well, if you guys are able to win, you would then play the winner of the game between Pleasant Valley and Waukee Northwest in Wednesday's semifinals. Now, you haven't played Pleasant Valley this year, but of course they defeated your team in last year's semifinals en route to the title. So would you like to get a rematch with them so that you can get some revenge?
Yeah, that would be great. I know that they also have a different team this year, and I would just like to have that second chance against them.
Well, of course, the number one team in the state is Iowa City Liberty, and they're on the other side of the bracket. The Lightning will open up against Urbandale, then would play the winner of the Dowling versus Centennial game in the semifinals. I'm sure a lot of people expect Iowa City Liberty, you know, to get to the championship game, but you're obviously familiar with all of those teams. Do you feel like one of those CIML teams could knock them off?
Yeah, I think the playing field is very even once all these teams get to state, especially at this new location. And so, I mean, I wouldn't overlook any team there. And I think maybe the last two teams might be a surprise, but we'll just have to see once we get there.
Well, if the rankings hold up true to form, we would get a 1-2 matchup in the final between Liberty and Ankeny. You guys have already played Liberty 3 times this season. You came from behind to beat them at both the Centennial and Valley tournaments, but then they thump your team, you know, pretty good during pool play the next week at the Iowa City West tournament. They obviously have a great player in Cassidy Hartman. You know, so if you do end up playing them in the final, I'm sure the focus would be on stopping her, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Cassie's a great player, and she is a tough attack from the back row and the front row. So she's definitely going to be someone that we're going to try to shut down. But I think they have a lot of good hitters, and we can't overlook any of them.
So do you feel like this team, you know, has another level that it can get to maybe win that title?
I think so. Yeah, I'm really excited for this team, and I hope that we can make it. That's definitely our goal.
Well, it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Well, Myra, thanks for coming in tonight, and I appreciate it, and I'll see you over there next week.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is a senior running back and linebacker for the Ankeny Centennial football team. He has rushed for 352 yards and 5 touchdowns while helping the Jaguars to a 5-4 record this season. He ranks 4th on the team with 39 tackles, including a team-high 11 for losses. And he's also averaging 38.3 yards on 32 punts. He is Easton Miller. Easton, thanks for joining me. How
are
you doing?
Yeah, thank you. I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season thus far. You've obviously played a key role in the team's success. You know, in between offense, defense, and punting, you know, you hardly ever get to leave the field. How's your body holding up at this point?
Yeah, this week was definitely good for the rest. We put East, so I got to get that week off. I'm ready for this week. I'm ready to dial in and show what we're made of.
I mean, do you like being a guy that can play, you know?
Oh, yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah. Love being all around the field.
Well, you mentioned the East game. You guys clinched a berth in the Class 5A playoffs with a 56-0 win last Friday, and that lifted your team to number 12 in the final RPI rankings.
Yep.
You guys had to wait until Saturday morning for the pairings to come out, and then you found out that you'd be traveling to number 5 Cedar Falls on Friday for a first-round matchup against the Tigers. Were you happy with the draw that you got?
Yeah, definitely. We what are we playing? Week 5? Week 6?
4.
Yep. Yeah, week 4. But we definitely showed that we can hang with them. We can be with them. I think we beat them 28-14. We definitely out-physicaled them, and I'm expecting to do it this week too.
Yeah, that game was played back on September 16th. But, of course, that game was played on your home field, and the Tigers have since reeled off 5 straight wins. So can you take much away from that first game?
Like I said, we just out-physicaled them. Offense really got it going, and then defense stuck their ground and did what we were meant to do. So,
well, that may have been your team's most impressive win of the season. You really had a balanced attack that night. Elijah Porter ran 21 times for 164 yards and 3 touchdowns, and you added 58 yards and another score on 8 carries. Your quarterback, Trenton Smith, completed 14 of 20 passes for 149 yards, and he completed passes to 6 different receivers. So are you confident you guys will be able to, you know, have similar success against them on Friday?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Well, you guys scored more points against Cedar Falls than any other team has this season, but they seem to have only gotten better on defense. They've allowed just 8.8 points per game over the last 5 games. So what have you seen from their defense on film? Have they made very many changes since you last played them?
On the defensive part, not really, but looking at the offensive part, they've definitely changed up a lot of stuff. They're running new formations. They're giving new people the ball and trying to expand the field, I feel like.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that other side of the ball. Cedar Falls has a stud running back in Drake Gelhouse. He rushed for 139 yards on 20 carries in that first game, and he scored on a 30-yard run. For the season, he has rushed for 1,269 yards and 13 touchdowns. So obviously the key to stopping their offense, you know, begins with him, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, their quarterback, Tate Hermanson, he completed 8 of 16 passes for 74 yards in that game, and he was also intercepted once by Joe Talmadge. But he has passed for 772 yards and 5 scores on the season. So, I mean, they do have the ability to throw the ball, don't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, what's going to be the key then to stop them? I mean, do you have to begin with that run?
Yeah, we're gonna buckle down the run pretty hard, and then when they open up the pass game, we definitely have coverages to figure that out and lock them down to hold them to the minimal points.
Do you see any other keys to the game?
I
mean, turnovers are always crucial, right?
Turnovers. I think just the run game is going to be a huge part because they run it quite a bit. So got to lock that down, and then offensively being able to throw it in, run it to score points.
Well, I know you guys obviously can't afford to look past, you know, this game, but if you are able to pull off a victory, you would then play the winner of the game between Pleasant Valley and Valley. And if Valley would pull off the upset, your team would actually get to host the quarterfinal game.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this pot of four teams is pretty wide open, you know, that any of the four teams are capable of getting to the Dome?
I think it's very wide open. I think if we get through round one, we have a great shot at beating whoever we play next, and just buckle down and really fight for that and try to get to the Dome.
Well, Easton, before I let you go, I just want to ask you about your future plans. Of course, you're also a player on the Centennial baseball team, and you're regarded as one of the best outfielders in the state. You also run the hurdles for the track team. Have you decided which sport you want to play in college, and have you looked at any schools yet?
As of right now, I'm going to finish out football season and then kind of decide from there, because football is definitely my number one. So
sure.
I'm going to see how that goes and then kind of decide from there.
Well, you got a little time to figure it out, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. All right, hey, thanks for coming in. Yeah, I appreciate it, and good luck on Friday.
Thank you.
You bet. Well, my next guest is a senior defensive end for the Jaguars. He ranks third on the squad with 49 tackles, including 36 solo stops and 10 and a half for losses. He's Brody Taggart. Brody, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season thus far. I'm sure you guys would like to have a better than a 5-4 record at this point, but you know the records really don't matter now that the playoffs are starting. Everybody's 0-0, and you guys have the same shot as everybody else. So have you been happy with the way that you've played this season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the whole D's squad doing really good this year. Obviously, last week or a couple weeks ago against Polk, you know, they had a good team. But, yeah, ready to bounce back against Cedar Falls.
Well, we talked with Easton about your team's earlier win over Cedar Falls, and you guys followed up that victory with a 31-28 win over Sioux City East, which was undefeated and ranked sixth at the time. You then had a hard-fought 28-23 victory at Urbandale in week six. So those three wins kind of give you guys the confidence that you could play with some of the state's best teams?
Yeah, for sure. When everything's clicking, especially the O, I mean, we're a good team, man. I feel like we can hang with the best. You know, Ankeny first game, or second game, it was 17-10, I'm pretty sure.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
They're number two, so we can hang with anybody.
Well, you then suffered back-to-back losses to Waukee Northwest and Southeast Polk in your next two games, but I know that injuries were definitely a factor there, especially in the game at Polk, where both Trenton Smith and Elijah Porter sat out with injuries. But those guys returned last week, and I know Coach Ryan Pizzetti told me that you guys are the healthiest you've been since that's the second half of that Ankeny game. So you have to feel really good, you know, going into the playoffs because you guys are healthy now, aren't you?
Yeah, for sure. Having Trenton back is going to be huge, even though Chase is a great player. But, yeah, it'll be good to have those guys back.
Well, Brody, I asked Easton how his body is holding up. You know, you play in the defensive line where you're having contact on every play. How's your body holding up after 9 games?
It's been doing good, honestly, for the most part. The weekends, you know, trying to get a lift here and there, but overall just feeling good.
Well, I know Ryan Pizzetti told me earlier in the season that the team was really going to rely on the defense to keep you guys in games because that was where most of the team's experience was. Did you kind of take that as a challenge, you know, as one of the leaders, you know, of that unit to step up and kind of lead the way until the offensive unit could get things, you know, on track?
Oh, for sure. Even those games, you know, first couple games, offenses was just figuring stuff out. I mean, yeah, I felt like we did a pretty good job of holding teams to a minimum and giving our offense a chance to score.
Well, the offense has really progressed throughout the season. Smith has now passed for 1,203 yards and 10 touchdowns. Porter has rushed for 695 yards and 10 scores. You know, do you feel like the team is a lot more balanced now?
Oh, for sure. It gives us, I mean, defensive side, obviously, during a game. I mean, you're pretty tired. But, yeah, it gives us much needed rest, them getting the huge first downs and stuff. It's huge.
Well, let's talk about Friday's game. You know, do you expect Cedar Falls to play better on its home field?
Yeah, for sure. The Dome, I mean, it's definitely a home field advantage for them. We're going in there. Last year we went in there kind of starstruck, got kind of handed to us. But, yeah, I think we're ready this time.
Well, what adjustments will you guys have to make, you know, to play on that field, or will it be much of one since you guys did play there last year?
Truly, I think ever since we played them, their offense kind of more spread-like, a lot of different formations. Normally, Cedar Falls is more, you know, meat and potatoes, run right, run left, and then pass. But, yeah, we definitely have some adjustments to make tomorrow, or Friday.
As far as the field goes, though, I mean, is there much of an adjustment there playing on that turf?
Yeah, a little bit, but in pregame, you get used to it. It's really not that big a deal.
Well, I talked about the Cedar Falls running back, Gelhouse with Easton, and I didn't see that first game because I was covering Ankeny versus Polk that night. So is he more of a power back or a speed back or kind of a combination?
Cedar Falls, they like to pull out of guards and just outside zone stuff, so he just reads the hole and just goes.
Well, then I mentioned the interception that that Talmadge had in that first game, but that was the only pick that Cedar Falls, you know, has thrown this year, that quarterback anyway. So they obviously do a pretty good job of taking care of the ball. Do you think the turnovers are going to be a critical factor again on Friday?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Going to that game, the QB had him in sack once. So I'm pretty sure we got him like the second play of the game. But, yeah, Joe's pick was huge, and Friday it'll be a big part of the game.
Well, Brody, of course, the CIML has dominated the large school playoffs over the last decade. Ankeny won the title in its last season as one program in 2012. Dowling then had its historic run of seven state straight crowns from 2013 to 19 before Ankeny won again in 2020, and then Southeast Polk won last year. Now, those three schools are the top seeds in this year's playoffs, so it appears that there's a good chance that maybe the CIML will come out on top again. And you've played both Ankeny and Southeast Polk. Who do you think is the favorite going into the playoffs, or do you think the field is pretty wide open this year?
Yeah, you know, I think once we get past these opening rounds, you're going to start to see the main guys emerge and stuff. And once you get into the dome, though, semis, I mean, it's wide open. Polk, obviously, with Abu back. He's great back. But, yeah, I mean, if one team's on, I mean, anybody can beat anybody. So we'll see.
Well, of course, you guys are healthy now. I mean, you got to feel like you're a pretty dangerous 5-4 team, don't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, teams can be overlooking us, but it's the last chance, man. Come out swinging.
Well, it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to Friday's game. I'll be up there, so we'll see you guys up there, and good luck on Friday.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, my next guest is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and she's back making another appearance tonight. She is Rhonda Dix. Rhonda, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, I really didn't have anything planned for you tonight, but I did hear something the other day about how the housing prices have started to fall, and I was reading in an article in CNN. I'll just read you a short passage here that I found in this story. It said that the U.S. housing market is in the midst of a major shift. After 2 years of stratospheric price appreciation, home prices have peaked and are on their way back down. But what home buyers and homeowners alike want to know is, how much lower will prices go? So you're the expert in the room here tonight. So what would you say to that question?
You know what? It's interesting. I think we've been spoiled for the last few years with, you know, increasing prices and a little bit of everything moving upwards. But I think we're starting to see more of a little bit of normalization. I think we're kind of getting back to the basics and seeing that, you know, not every year you can appreciate 13 to 20% appreciation year after year. So I think there's a little bit of self-correcting going on, and I think it's a mindset, you know, and just prepping people for, you know, the basics.
So this would basically be a market correction then, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Like I said, I don't think it's a gloom and doom. I know a lot of people are trying to equate it to, you know, the market crash in 07 and 08. We're definitely not in that same financial position that we were. However, yes, rates are, I think, the highest they've been since, you know, the 2000s. I think we talked about in a meeting earlier today. But again, it's just, I think we have a lot more people in a better financial position. They're making smarter decisions, and, you know, they're not loosely lending to individuals like they were in the past.
Well, you were just telling me off air that you're headed to Jamaica here in about a week and a half on a Coldwell Banker trip, so things must be going pretty well for you, huh?
Yeah, I would say, believe it or not, this past year has probably been my best in 25 years of real estate. So, yeah, still enjoying a great market and referral business, too.
Well, good for you. Yeah, I was telling you off air that I've been to Jamaica several times, so I'll be anxious to hear about your trip and what you thought of it. We've loved it the many times that we've been there, and the people down there are awesome, and yeah, we actually know a guy down there. I'll tell you off air, but there's a guy we could hook you up with that would drive you around show you some places to go. So he's a native, obviously. But well, hey, as far as the real estate business goes here, I mean, what's keeping you busy these days? Yeah, any properties you want to promote?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've been fortunate with MJ Properties this past few years. A lot of our business has been the custom home. So it's not necessarily being oversaturated with inventory homes. However, we have started to plan for our spring market. We're being smart about it. We've got a couple homes that are in the beginning stages. One at Centennial Estates, that's kind of been our main focus with three plats. We've got beautiful lots available anywhere from flat lots to walkouts on cul-de-sacs up here on the northern side of Ankeny. And as you know, there's a lot of new excitement and growth here coming to the 36th Street exit. So yeah, that's exciting. And then of course, we've got our Prairie Trail. We've got a couple lots left down there, very affordable lots for our kind of our Triple Crown series. So we're starting kind of in that mid 400s down there. And then our market home at Centennial is just around that 600,000. Both ranch products, and that seems to be, you know, everyone's choice of home. And, you know, the one in Prairie Trail has got the alley load and it's walkable to the district, which is kind of exciting for those folks down there. So different settings, but something for everyone.
Well, of course, we're sitting here in our new office out here at the Standard on 36th. And with all the growth out here, I mean, do you expect things to keep growing even east of the interstate now?
I do. I know Ankeny's really smart about planning for the future. And I know that there is residential and some more office park here that's going to go up around the Costco development. So yeah, I think you're going to see a little bit more of the merging. Ankeny used to seem so far away from, you know, Ames and some of those other communities. And it's just, you know, we're getting closer and closer.
Well, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you if they want to, you know, check out some of MJ's properties?
Sounds great. You're welcome to give me a call. That number, 515-975-3735. Or you're welcome to reach me by email. That's ronda.dix@cbdsm.
All right, Rhonda. Well, thanks for coming in again tonight. And hey, have a great trip.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, my final guest tonight is a sophomore middle hitter for the 6th-ranked Centennial volleyball team. She has racked up 194 kills, 87 blocks, and 28 aces while helping the Jaguars to a 29-9 record and a number 5 seed in next week's state tournament. She is Jaden Pratt. Jaden, thanks for joining me. How
are
you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, it was a nice win for you guys last night. I was over at the Ankeny match, so I didn't get a chance to see it. But it sounds like you guys really came out and took care of business right away. Did you feel like it was important to jump on Roosevelt right away and kind of show them, you know, who the better team was?
Yeah, it was a very fun match to begin with. We had very high energy, a good crowd, and just everything fell in our favor. We came out very strong and just stayed consistent through the whole entire match.
Well, you had 6 kills and 3 blocks in the match. You know, how did you feel like you played last night?
I think everyone played very good. We played together as a team, and it was one of my stronger nights, just being able to find the ball and have good connections with the setter and everything.
Well, you guys won the first set 25-7, and then even though Roosevelt managed to win 17 points in the second set, I mean, you guys obviously were in control. I mean, you never really felt threatened, did you?
No, not at all.
Well, I know you guys had not played the Rough Riders this season, so what did you learn about them from your scouting report? To what did Coach tell you was going to be the keys to the match?
We knew they had a big block on our outside hitters with their lefty, and we knew that they were going to be scrappy, and they always find a way to fight back somehow, so we were just staying ready for that.
Well, your team has won its last 3 matches now, including an impressive victory over number 7 Waukee Northwest in your regular season finale. Do you feel like you guys are playing your best ball of the season right now?
Yes, these past couple weeks have definitely been a rise for us, and we've just been together as a team and just have grown a lot over these past couple weeks.
Well, before all the matches went final last night, you didn't know for sure who your opponent at the state tournament would be. You know, I thought it might be number 3 Pleasant Valley if all of the top teams advanced to state, but then Urbandale's upset over number 5 Cedar Falls moved your team up to the number 5 seed, so you will now play number 4 Dowling Catholic in the quarterfinals on Monday at 2 p.m. But I was wondering, since your team lost to Pleasant Valley in last year's quarterfinals, and they went on to win the state title, and then you also lost to them at the Centennial Invitational earlier this season, were you kind of hoping to get a rematch against the Spartans?
Yeah, we kind of were. We kind of have, like, this revenge tour going on for us, and we were just taking it match by match and seeing how Urbandale fell through with the rankings. It kind of just boosted us a little bit, being able to play Dowling again, which will be a good rematch.
Well, yeah, you guys are certainly familiar with Dowling, one of your CIML conference rivals. You opened the season with a victory over them at the Dallas Center Grimes Invitational, but then Dowling came back a couple of weeks later, and they won a five-set match on their home court. And the two teams went on to tie for second place in the conference. And, of course, the two teams' overall records are almost identical as well. Both teams have 9 losses, and the Maroons have 31 wins, just 2 more than what you guys have. So on paper, I mean, the matchup is about as even as it can get, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, what do you think is going to be the key then for you guys to come out on top this time?
I think just being one team and not getting too frazzled if we make mistakes or if they get big hits. I mean, everyone at State is the top of the top right now, and I think us just staying together as a team, taking it step by step, point by point, will just make us seem a little more calm.
Well, now your team can't afford to look past the first match, but if you do pull out the win, you would then play the winner of the 1-8 matchup between Iowa City Liberty and Urbandale in Wednesday's semifinals. Now, considering that the Jayhawks are the only team in the Class 5A field with a losing record, do you expect the Lightning to come out on top in that one?
You know, really, anything's possible. So many people pull out some great wins at State, and, I mean, people live for the upsets, so, I mean, anything's possible, yeah.
Well, I know you guys haven't played Liberty this season, but I'm sure you'd love an opportunity, you know, to knock them off, wouldn't you?
Yeah. We would, yes.
Well, of course, the other half of the bracket includes your crosstown rival, number 2, Ankeny, as well as Pleasant Valley. So if you guys were somehow able to make it to the championship game, you know, there probably is a decent chance that you would get a chance to play one of those two teams. And that'd be kind of a dream scenario, wouldn't it?
It would, yes. Yeah.
When you talk about this revenge tour, I mean, it probably includes those two teams, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, coming into the tournament as a number 5 seed, I mean, do you guys kind of feel like you have nothing to lose?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of came in as the underdog by having our ranking move down. But I think with it staying at 5 just gives us that we have the mentality of we have nothing to lose.
Did that give you guys some motivation there when you fell from 5 to 6 in those last rankings?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Well, I guess Cedar Falls losing, maybe that showed that they didn't deserve that 5 ranking.
Yeah,
too,
I guess.
Well, you guys had a really balanced attack against Roosevelt. You had 3 players with 6 kills. You had 1 with 5 and another with 4. Do you think that balance is what makes you guys kind of a dangerous team because opponents, you know, can't focus on just stopping 1 or 2 players?
Yes, we have great setters that move the ball around a lot, which is very helpful. And all of our attackers can put a ball away at any given time and find open spots. So I think that's harder for me personally, being as middle and having it going against a team that can do that is very hard because you never know where you're going to be placed, where the set is, where you need to set up. So I think that's definitely hard for other teams whenever they have to scout us.
Well, Jaden, I know you had a basketball meeting earlier tonight, and I want to ask you a couple of basketball questions as well. You spent a lot of time playing hoops in the offseason. You obviously performed very well because I know you racked up a lot of scholarship offers in the process. So how many offers do you have right now?
I currently have 7.
Can you name off those schools?
South Dakota, UNI, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Nebraska-Omaha, St. Thomas, and goodness,
that's okay. Kind of put you on the spot.
It's okay. Oh, goodness. Who else?
That's all right.
Now I cannot think.
That's gave me a pretty good idea there of the schools that are looking at you. But, well, are you enjoying the process thus far? And have you set like any kind of a timetable for when you'd like to make a decision? Obviously, you're only a sophomore. I mean, you got time.
Yeah, it's been very exciting getting to know all the coaches, seeing the campuses. But it's also kind of a little stress whenever you have to make the final decision. I haven't really thought about when I'm going to, but I think within the next couple of years I will.
Well, you've obviously played well in volleyball as well, but have you made that decision that you are going to focus on basketball in college?
I think so. It's kind of been more basketball, but this season has really brought out a lot of fun and, like, my love again for volleyball. So I'm kind of still open for volleyball, but still basketball remains as my top right now.
It's nice to have options, right?
Yeah.
Well, hey, Jane, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it. Good luck next week, and I'll see you over there.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests for coming in again tonight. We had Myra Carlson from the Ankeny volleyball team, and then we had Ankeny Centennial football players Easton Miller and Brody Taggart. We also had Coldwell Banker realtor Rhonda Dix, and then we finished up with Ankeny Centennial volleyball player Jaden Pratt. Appreciate the time from all of those folks tonight. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. I'm not sure what we'll be focusing on next week. It kind of depends on how the volleyball schedule goes and how our local teams do. It also kind of depends on how the football teams do in the playoffs this week. We might try to combine the two sports depending on, you know, which night works to get everybody together, but we'll see what we can come up with. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.